There was a wedding going on. The groom was extremely nervous. He was quite concerned that he would not say "I do" at the proper time. And as they were going through the ceremony, the preacher turned to the bride and said, "Do you promise to take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to love and honor him? Do you promise to obey him?" And she immediately said, "Do you think I'm crazy?" And the groom, being nervous, said, I do. And you can imagine what happened after that. But I mention that to emphasize this point, that the word obey is a word that sometimes is not understood, sometimes is not appreciated, and sometimes is not the word that we want to hear. But the idea of obedience is an integral part of God's word. And it's a very important part of really all areas of our lives. The word means to follow commands or guidance, to comply with something, to believe in accordance with or to conform to something. You know, there's just a little bit about all of us, I suppose, that causes us to have perhaps a subconscious attitude that we don't want somebody else telling us what to do. And obedience involves doing what somebody else tells us to do. I want to do three things this morning in this lesson. First, look at five areas talked about in the Bible where obedience is necessary. And then talk about four ways in which the Bible describes obedience. And then look at some general scriptures, both positive and negative, that emphasize how important obedience is. Obedience is used in the Bible in connection with our relationship to government. Romans 13:1 says, "Be subject to the higher powers," but Titus 3:1 includes the statement, "Obey the magistrates." And magistrates there would be a word that represents those who are in authority in government positions. The Bible admonishes us to be obedient to those that are in authority, even in the government. There are laws of the land. There are laws by which we do most everything that we do in life. There are laws that govern our driving. There are laws that govern every area of life. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to be subject to those laws. Those laws are put there for a reason. Without them, we would have chaos. And they were not put there just for other people to respect, but for all of us to respect. A stop sign means stop. A speed limit means what it says. In almost every area of life, if we're getting married, if we're building a building, if we are buying land, there are certain laws that have to be taken into consideration. And the Bible says, obey the magistrates. Obey the laws of the land. Colossians 3:22 says that servants are to obey their masters in all things according to the flesh. Perhaps that includes the idea that we're not just to obey our masters if they're Christians, but we're to obey them if we are servants and have that master-servant relationship. There are two areas of life where this applies to us today. One would be on the job, one would be at school. For those who are older and working, it is important to be obedient to those that are in authority on the job. The employer has the right to make decisions and expect the employees to be obedient to those decisions. The foreman has authority over those under him and is to be respected and to be obeyed. At school, the teacher would be like the master in this relationship, and the student would be like the servant. And we need to teach our children the idea of respecting the teachers and being obedient to them. Problems are caused when that's not the case. Obedience is emphasized in the family, the different relationships there. It is mentioned in 1 Peter 3 and verse 6 that Sarah obeyed Abraham. The husband is the head of the family, and that's not in the sense of being a boss, but a leader. And the wife is to respect him. Children are told in Ephesians 6, 1 to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. He goes ahead and magnifies that by saying that they are to honor father and mother. We certainly do not appreciate children who will talk back to their parents, or as we sometimes say, sass them. But we do appreciate those who are obedient to their parents, and especially if they are obedient with the statement, yes ma'am or yes sir, or no ma'am or no sir, in their relationship with one another. God knew what he was doing when he told children to be obedient to their parents. The immaturity of the young is to be guided by the maturity of the older ones. Of course, that necessitates the older ones being mature and not being childish in their actions. But children are to obey their parents. And then there is that direct statement in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. It is important for us to obey God, to respect him, to be submissive to him, and to do what he has told us to do. So I find at least five areas described in the Bible where authority is involved, and respect for that authority would necessitate the idea of obedience. Government, in the master-servant relationship, in the home, and even in the church, where we are told to obey them that have the rule over us. A respect for church leaders is involved, as well as our obedience to God. What does obedience mean? I believe there are four areas that we need to understand in order to answer that question. Number one, obedience may mean carrying out a positive commandment. God gave Noah a commandment to build the ark. Twice, in Genesis 5 and also in chapter 6, it said, according to all that God said, thus did Noah. God gave him the direct commandment to build the ark, how long to make it, how high to make it, what kind of wood to use, what to do, and each of the details of it. And the Bible teaches that Noah obeyed by carrying out those commandments. God gave Moses the commandment first to strike the rock on the first occasion. He carried that out and did exactly what God told him to do. On many other occasions, he told Moses what to do, giving him a direct commandment, such as, go down into Egypt and bring my children out. We find that obedience involved doing what God had said. We have the negative case of this with Saul, who was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. He did not completely destroy them, but kept back some of the best and did not carry out all of the positive commandments that God had given him. In the second place, obedience means restraint in negative commandments. There's a verse in the New Testament that can only be understood by knowing the Old Testament. Luke 17:32 says, remember Lot's wife. The reason that we are to remember Lot's wife is that she did not obey God relative to a restraint that he had given. As Lot, his wife, and children were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, don't look back. That was a restriction, something they were not to do. She did not obey that commandment and was struck dead when she looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave the commandment, not to touch a holy thing relative to the tabernacle. He even made arrangements so that the articles that were used in the tabernacle would have rings on the corners where they could put some kind of a stave through there and carry it without touching that article that was in the tabernacle because it was considered holy. And God said, do not touch that which is holy. In 2 Samuel 6, Uzzah was involved in transporting the Ark of the Covenant. It began to shake. He thought it was going to fall, and he put out his hand to keep it from falling, and when he touched it, God struck him dead. When God says, don't do something, obedience means not doing what he has restricted. And it's interesting that most of the Ten Commandments that were given to the children of Israel begin with thou shalt not. There is a don't. So obedience involves carrying out a positive command by doing what God has said or anyone has said. And for that matter, if we're going to obey. Or it means being restricted in the negative sense. Obedience also means that we do not have the right to substitute for that which is specified. You remember Cain and Abel offered unto God back in Genesis 4. And according to the message in Hebrews 11:4, Abel's offering was accepted because it was done by faith. A detailed study of this will show that, and maybe among other reasons, but at least this, that Abel offered a blood sacrifice and Cain did not. And all the evidence is that from the very beginning of God's desire for man to worship him, that there was the blood sacrifice idea involved. Cain brought something to offer to God, but he didn't bring what God wanted. He substituted for what God, at least seemingly, had commanded of both of them. We find another example of this with Nadab and Abihu. Luke 10 says, they offered strange fire which God had not commanded or ordained. Now God had commanded some things to be done. He had given them instructions about how they were to offer incense and other things. And here Nadab and Abihu offered that which was strange, and it says, which God had not commanded them. They substituted for what God had said. When we substitute something for what has been demanded, we are not obedient. There have been instances where a carpenter was told to use a certain kind of wood in a house and to cut corners and make more money, he substituted and used something else. For a while it was not known. But as time went by, that which was of lesser value showed to be of lesser value, and there was a problem with the building. Obedience means not substituting for specific commands. And then there's a fourth area, and I think this is the hardest one for all of us. Obedience means doing what the one in authority has said, even if we do not understand why we are to do that. There are some laws of the land that I don't necessarily understand why they have it. I never have figured out why they spent millions of dollars constructing a new road just the other side of Jackson on Highway 45 and then lowered the speed limit. I don't understand that. When I came through this morning, I thought about it. They lowered that, you come off of the 65 and immediately it's 45. No houses, divided highway. Why have a 45? I don't understand that. But I suspect for more reasons than one, it might be a good idea for me to obey it, don't you? There are some laws that are given in the Bible that I don't completely understand. I suspect that when God told Abraham to take Isaac, his son, and offer him as a sacrifice, that Abraham did not understand that commandment. You see, here's the boy who was to be the heir, the one through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. And now God says, you take him and put him to death? You take him and offer him? There's no way Abraham could have understood that. But you know what he did? he began to prepare to do exactly what God had said. And he went so far as to bring the knife back to take his life. And God stilled his hand, and there was the ram there that he could use. He didn't understand. I'm sure Abraham didn't understand. But Abraham was a man of faith. And he believed that if God told him to do it, that's what he should do. He's the same one that was told to leave his country, Ur of Chaldees, and go into a land that he was not had not seen, one with which he was not familiar. You think he understood all of that? I don't think so. I don't think Abraham had even a beginning of an understanding of all that was involved when he was asked to leave his home country. And when he was asked to take his son. But what did he do? He obeyed. Naaman, you remember, who had leprosy, 2 Kings 5, 8 through 19, didn't understand the commandment that was given to him. In fact, he first rebelled against it and fussed about it. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times and your leprosy will be healed. He didn't understand that. And I don't suspect any of us would either, because dipping in the Jordan really, from the standpoint of medicine, has nothing to do with leprosy, but it had something to do with obedience. And finally, when it was pointed out to him that if he'd been asked to do some great thing, he would have done it, and here's something that's small that he could do, and he's fussing about it, he went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, and his leprosy was healed. Folks, whether or not we understand everything that is commanded of us, obedience means doing what the one in authority has said. It means carrying out the positive commands, not doing that which is restricted. It means no substitutions when we're given specifics, and it means doing what we're told to do, whether or not we completely understand what is involved. That's obedience. And that's the kind of obedience that we need today. Having talked about the 5 areas where obedience is involved and 4 ways in which we obey, let's look at some scriptures in general that emphasize the importance of obedience. One of my favorites in 1 Samuel 15:22, we made reference to Saul and the Amalekites a moment ago. You remember the story of where God told him to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He came back and said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. God said, he's not performed my commandment. And then Samuel said, if you have obeyed God, then why am I hearing oxen and sheep? And he said, the people wanted to do this. We decided. You see, instead of doing what God said, he said, we decided. We made the decision. People encouraged me, and I made the decision to do this instead of listening to what God said. And in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 15, one of the most powerful verses on this subject in the Bible, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Saul said, well, we're bringing all this back. We're going to have a big feast and a big worship to God. We're going to offer up all this. And Samuel said, what God wants is obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In Romans 6, 16 through 18, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Obey or obedience is mentioned several times in those 3 verses, but notice particularly how it's used in verse 17. He said, you have obeyed from the heart that which was delivered you. That's where obedience starts, from the heart, from the inside out. If we have our hearts right and we respect the one in authority and we want to do our very best to carry out exactly what the one in authority has said, then from the heart we'll be involved in doing that which we're told to do. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says even about Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice you have obeyed, you purified your souls in obeying the truth. In Galatians 5:7 begins some of those verses that sort of give us a negative sense of it by telling us what will happen if we do not obey. In Galatians 5 and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? 1 Peter 1:22 talks about obeying the truth. And here he says they have been hindered and they were not obeying the truth. Truth is God's word, John 17:17. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9 says, to you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that's the negative there, those that obey not the gospel. The positive would be obey the gospel. And we've sort of coined that phrase sometimes to be parallel to becoming a Christian. Someone became a Christian, someone was baptized into Christ, someone obeyed the gospel. And he says that the problem is when we do not obey the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, if any man obey not the word by this epistle, or your word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. This is in a setting where he's been talking about the right kind of discipline in the church. And he says, if a person has not obeyed your word, the epistle that's been given, the word of God, then that man is to be one which you don't have company with. There again, it's a negative approach to emphasize the importance of obedience. 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's what's called a rhetorical question. The question answers itself. What shall the end be of those that obey not? We know what that end is going to be. But notice the emphasis that is placed on obeying the gospel. Here are just a few of the scriptures that emphasize how important it is to obey the truth and to obey from the heart that form of doctrine that has been delivered unto us. Folks, obedience is necessary. And when we teach the plan of salvation, we must teach it completely. The need of hearing God's word, believing in Christ as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, being buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, and living the Christian life. When we teach anything about the church, the organization of the church, the work of the church, the worship, what do we need to do? We need to teach that which is the truth. We need to obey the truth. And in our assembly for worship, what we do should be based upon the word of God so that we are obeying God, conforming to what he has said and carrying out his will. The greatest desire, I suppose, that any of us should want to have is to be obedient to God. One of the greatest desires that a child can have in this life is to desire to be obedient to his parents, to want to do what they tell him to do. And that should be our relationship to God. Folks, obedience is extremely important. It carries with it the idea of submission. And we just don't like in some ways to submit to authority. But if we're going to live the Christian life, if we're going to be successful in this life, it's going to involve submission to authority. And that's obedience. If you need to obey the gospel this morning in becoming a Christian or to come asking for prayers, come as together we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
thank you, Brother Ben, for such a good lesson. And we'll meet again tonight at 6, and everyone's welcome back. Hope you'll be here. Let us pray. Most precious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and all of its many blessings. Father, we're thankful for this time that we've had to come together and study the lesson from our true and living God. Father, we're thankful for Brother Ben and the work that he does here from the pulpit, visiting the sick and shut-ins and holding meetings throughout the brotherhood. Pray your richest blessings upon him that he have many more useful years in thy service. Father, we're thankful for the church here at Madison County and for the work that it does to help the East Tennessee School of Preaching in Memphis and others in the community here, Father. We pray your richest blessings upon each and every one here. Father, we pray again for all the many sick this morning. We're so thankful for Linda James Stent being put in and Keely Puckett. Father, we ask you to be with her and seeing Brother Denton here, Father, we're thankful for that. He's able to be here this morning, and we ask you to be with Joe Russell and Lee Sanford and so many more, Father, that's undergoing treatments, and we're thankful for Philadelphia Smith, her report, and we ask you to be with each and every one that was mentioned here and it's in the bulletin, strengthen them back a portion of their health, be thy will. We ask you, Father, to be with our shut-ins and our widows and the ones in nursing homes, assisted living homes, and strengthen them a portion of their health, be thy will, Father. We ask you to be with the men and women in the armed forces away from their families at this time. Father, be with them and strengthen and guide them, and they may soon return to their families in the near future. We ask you, Father, to go with us and forgive us our sins. And finally, in the end, if we've been found faithful, give us a home with thee. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Internet stuff.